Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. The scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus asking for a supernatural sign to prove he was the Messiah. Jesus retorted that the only sign they would get was that of the prophet Jonah. The Son of God came from heaven to inhabit a human body, and there was no spiritual death that occurred on the cross. Jesus condemned the generation that saw his miracles and rejected him. He taught about demons and the harm of returning to a sinful lifestyle. Then his family and friends tried to recall him because they thought that he was mentally losing it. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we could be talking today about the problem Jesus had when his sanity was questioned. And we could be working in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to start on verse number 38. Here to this morning. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for ministering to us. I pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to get a hold of myself and everyone listening, that we will be able to really understand Jesus, what he did when he was here on this earth. And I thank and I praise you for that now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Jewish leadership were always trying to trap Jesus. And we read here in verse number 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. Now, was it a bad question? They had seen signs. What more did they want to see? They'd seen the blind had the eyesight back. The lame had walked. People that were deaf and dumb could speak and hear. What kind of signs did they want? They simply wanted to harass Jesus and trap him. So Jesus simply responded to them in verse number 39, and he said this, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. The two words that I want us to look upon here. Adulterous generation. What does that mean? That means that these people were simply in adultery with the devil, with Satan, demons, and they were an adulterous generation. And they will not see any other sign than the sign of Jonah. And then Jesus said this in verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He didn't say that anything about Jonah except this. Everybody in Israel knew. I mean, that story had traveled and stayed with them. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. And then he came out and he was preaching because he had learned a lesson. So the sign is, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. Let's turn now to Jonah, and we're going to go to chapter 1. That's Jonah. And we're going to go to chapter 1, and we're going to read verse number 40. That's Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That was a sign that he gave to the Pharisees, the scribes. That's a sign. Did they see the sign? Yes, they did. But did they believe? Remember the story? After Jesus was crucified, his body was taken down, put in the tomb, that they simply said, you got to put a guard up here to make sure that no one steals his body. When he rose from the dead, did they believe? No, they did not believe. So, the sign that they got was no use for them. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, that's Luke chapter 23, and we're going to go, let's get there, 23 and verses 42 and 46. And this is a thief of the cross, and he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I said to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Paradise was located in the earth. It is today empty. It was located next to hell. And people in paradise could actually see into hell, and people in hell could see into paradise. And we have that in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus talked about the rich man that went to hell, and Lazarus went to paradise. So, my next point here on that we have here is simply this. Jesus never actually died. Now, let me explain that to you so you understand that. When Jesus came down to this earth, Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is God. And Jesus entered a physical body that the Holy Spirit and Mary had produced. And he lived in that body. As he lived in that body, he could feel pain, he could feel joy, just like you and I with our bodies. Understand this now. Your body is not you. Inside of your body is a spirit called a soul. If you're born again, you also have a spirit. You try your. When a human being dies, the soul doesn't die. The body does. And if you're born again, the soul, spirit, body, which is you, and the soul has, actually my body is a replica of my soul. So my soul has a head, it has arm, legs, and so on. It has a soul brain and so on. So matter of fact, when I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit is working through the spirit to my soul brain. My soul brain uses my mouth, and that's how we communicate. So when you die, your body dies, but you don't die. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. So, in my body, people can hurt me. I feel the pain. People can be nice to me and do nice things, and I can feel great joy. I can be angry. My body can react to a number of different things. We got emotions. So Jesus suffered in reality through his body. When his body, when he came to Pilate, and they beat him with 39 lashes, Jesus felt that, the God felt that. Through his body, he could feel the blows. Every nerve ending gave a signal. And just like it, someone would do that to you, you feel every ounce of pain. Jesus felt it. When they put him on the cross and nailed him, as they drove those spikes through his palms and his feet, he could feel that pain. It was excruciating. It was beyond comprehension. When they got hung him on the cross, he felt the pain. He was hanging on his arms. And then when they got tired, he collapsed and he stood on his legs. And then when the legs collapsed, he stood back on his arms again. He felt the pain. But the worst pain that Jesus felt was when the Father took every sin from Adam and Eve to the last person that's going to live on this earth and took all that sin and put it on Jesus' body. And then he judged him. 3 hours. That was, you and I could not handle that. That was a pain. That was excruciating. If you can imagine every sin, every murder, everything that people have done, every lie, everything we've done bad were laid upon him. And then God judged him. He judged the human race by judging Jesus. And Jesus just hung there. He was innocent. He had not sinned. And he simply took it. And he paid for your sins and my sins. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday at noon. That's when he got his body up on the cross. And for 3 hours, he was there. And then, at 3 o'clock, he cried out, "It is finished." And then he voluntarily shut down the heart and he left the body hanging on the cross. Where did Jesus go? Jesus went to paradise. Let's read Luke 16 here very quickly. That's the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. So you understand what paradise is. That's Luke 16. And you pick it up in verse number 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can it pass to us that would come from thence. This is where Jesus was now for 3 days. Who was in paradise? Well, we know this. Abraham was there. And Isaac was there. Jacob, Joseph, King David. A lot of people from the Old Testament that have believed in the Messiah. The prophets were there. And you can imagine, they had been waiting because, you see, they could not leave paradise and go to heaven because sin has not been paid for. Can you imagine the joy when Jesus came down into paradise and all these people there saw him and they said, Wow, Jesus! And he told them, I finished. And Moses recognized it. This is Jesus. Jesus talked to me when I was alive on earth. Abraham said, yeah, that's Jesus. You talked to me when I was on earth. So for 3 days and nights, there was a party in paradise. And Jesus was talking to them and said, you know, I have prayed for the sins. It's done. It's over. And then he said, I need to step into hell. I need to proclaim to them that I have paid for the sins, but they are not part of it. Let's turn to, keep your fingers, then we're going to go to 1 Peter. That's 1 Peter. And we're going to pick it up here. There we go, 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Notice now, being put to death to the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, but once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, when few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Can you imagine now hell? People there are tormented. Darkness. Gnashing teeth. And suddenly, hell is lit up by a light. And there stands Jesus. And people are saying, Wow, he came to save us. And then Jesus said, I'm going to proclaim to you that I have paid for the sins of all people in the earth that we lived. But since you did not accept me as a future Messiah, you did not believe in the future Messiah, you died in your sins, It doesn't matter to you. You will stay here. Not only will you stay here, but one day you'll be taken up to the great white throne judgment. And there we will sentence you for what you did on earth. And this place is bad. But you go into a place that is even worse. The lake of fire. Can you imagine the people there, millions of them, looking at Jesus and realizing, I am doomed. The terrible shock setting in. There's no hope. This is why we should really witness, even if we don't like some people. Because think about this, if that were you dying and going to hell, knowing you're not going to get out, the lake of fire coming, how would you feel? It would be horrible. If you understand that, we would witness more. And Jesus went back to paradise. Hell got dark again. Just the flickering of the fires there. And Jesus simply talking to the people there and say, you know, I got to be here for 3 days or three nights. And then I'm going to go back up. My body's going to be resurrected. And I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to stay on earth for 40 days. And then I'm going to go back into heaven. And when I leave, after 40 days of my resurrection, I will take all of you with me. And you're going to go to heaven with me. You can imagine, you know, there must have been clapping their hands. They were very joyful. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, you've got to stay here a little bit longer, 40 days. Paradise was nice. I mean, it was a very pleasant place. Today is empty. There's no one there. It's shut down. They don't need it. Because now they can go straight to heaven because Jesus' blood has been taken up into heaven. Let's go back to Luke right now, chapter 23. That's Luke, the 23rd chapter. Luke chapter 23, verse number 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. And the same had not consented to counsel and deed of them. In other words, he had protested when they said, crucify Jesus. He said no. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man, he was a disciple of Jesus. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in a stone where never man before was laid. So it was a cave. And the day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now that Sabbath day was a high Sabbath. That was a Thursday. That was a high Sabbath. So now, the body is in the grave. Actually in the tomb. Jesus himself is in paradise. 3 day waiting period. And then Jesus is resurrected. Let's turn to Matthew 28. That's Matthew chapter 28. We're going to pick it up. We'll get there. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, that was Saturday now, 3 days later. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Remember now, a Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was as lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became a dead man. And the angel answered and said to the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. This is what I believe happened. We don't have a Bible verse on it. On the third day, Jesus simply left paradise, came back up to the earth, went to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit had come down upon that tomb. An angel had just removed the stone that would cover it. And the Holy Spirit moved upon that beat up dead body. Because the blood was coagulated and it was, you know, it was a dead body. He moved upon it and the body was resurrected. And I believe that, this is what I believe, Jesus was just standing there and watching the Holy Spirit do it. And then the Holy Spirit said, okay, it's done. Jesus said, fine. He got into the body. And then he walked out in his resurrected body. I believe when he came out over Jerusalem was every fallen angel. All demons have gathered together. Satan had been watching that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And when he saw that Jesus come out, he simply couldn't believe it. And I believe that Jesus looked up and said, Lucifer, get down here. Bow your knees. And Jesus put his foot and he stamped on him and crushed his skull. And he simply told everybody, I am king. Satan is defeated. His kingdom is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Except in opposition. But legally, he was defeated. That's what I believe happened. Because the Bible said that he judged them. So you have a black box that says this. There was no spiritual death when Jesus physically died on the cross for the sins of mankind. Just like when I die, my soul spirit will not die. I will step out. My body goes down. Jesus gave up his body. He didn't die because he was hurt. After 3 hours, he was finished, and Jesus simply took his body and picked it up. Let's go back now to Matthew chapter 12. That's Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12. And we pick it up in verse 41 and 42. So Jesus now pronounced a judgment on the people. He said this, The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, the greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That generation that was there, when they simply died off, that entire generation will be separated. And they will be separated in such a way that at the end of times, they will be raised up as a special group. And they will be judged by the people of Nineveh, by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, because they saw Jesus. They heard Jesus, and they rejected Jesus. And because of that, they will get a greater condemnation. In verse number 43 and 45, there's a teaching on demons. So this is a different subject now. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and find none. Then he says, I will return to my house from whence I came out. When he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and take with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter into a dweller, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Jesus now moved into a different subject, and he's simply saying this: if you go through deliverance and you have demons cast out, and then you go back and sin again and do the same thing, you will open a door, and Jesus said there'll be seven times worse spirits that come in the second time. I had a young man some years back, and he said, I know I need deliverance, but he said, I don't dare to do it, because I'm not sure that I can keep it. And I don't want to have seven times worse demons. So he would not go through deliverance. And the man has not done well after that. Divorced, remarried, and drinking, doing things, not walking as a Christian. Let's talk about the family of Jesus. And I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 3. That's Mark, the third chapter. Mark chapter 3. Here we go. And we're going to look at verse number 21. And 22. Here's the setting. People thought that Jesus was insane. He was mentally ill. You got to remember now, at the time that Jesus was preaching, we had simply a number of people had been proclaiming to be the Messiah. It was five or six of them. And the Romans had taken them, arrested them, crucified them. They killed them. So now, the family of Jesus gets worried. Let's read now what we have in Mark 3:21. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is besides himself. These were young men that Jesus had grown up with. They were from Nazareth. They loved Jesus. And they genuinely thought, he's not the Messiah. Hey, he's from here. We played with him when he was young. A teenager, we had a good time together. They said, we got to go and rescue him. Because if he continues like this, the Romans are going to arrest him and then kill him. Now, his family also believed the same thing. If you go back now to Matthew chapter 12, that's Matthew chapter 12, and verse number 46 and on. While Jesus talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood without, desiring to speak with him. His mom and his dad was not there because Joseph most likely was dead. So his mother and his siblings were there. Then one said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brother stand without, desire to speak with you." In other words, they want to talk to you. They want to rescue him. But he answered and said to them, unto him, they told him, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?" And he stretched forth his hand to his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother." So let's look at part of the sum over here now as we come down to that. So this sermon, we had a number of different things that we spoke about here. And I think that probably the most important one for you and me is to understand Jesus' humanity and also his divinity. He was man, he was God. I think that when his friends came and said, "Jesus, we want you to come with us. Let's go back home to Nazareth. We want to talk to you." He could read their thoughts. And it must have pained them that they don't believe. They seen me do miracles. And now they're trying to save me. But I think the biggest blow was when his mother came. Because his mother had told him about the angel Gabriel. She had told Jesus about the miraculous birth he had, or actually the conception. He was to tell Jesus, you know, about Egypt. And of course, she remembered when he went to the temple, he was 12 years old. And she had heard the people in the temple, Anna and others, simply say, "This is the Messiah." And now, Jesus' mother comes and wants to take him home. He did not even go out to her. I think Jesus was upset. I think he was upset and simply said, you know, what does it take? My own mother that went through all these miracles to have me doesn't believe on a Messiah. Later, Mary became very active in the church. When Jesus on the cross, he told John the apostle, he said, "See your mother," and he had John to take care of Mary, his mother. Jesus was human. He was God. He had feelings. He could feel joy, happiness, sadness, grief, disappointment. All the feelings that you and I have, Jesus could feel them. And that's why he really truly is our Messiah. He paid for it all. It's all ours. And by simply accepting him as the Messiah, we can be saved. There was a time, you that are in a chapel here in your life, when you made a decision, "I want to get saved. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose on the third day. And that he paid for my sins." And you remember when you prayed, "Oh God, please forgive me for my sins. Jesus, come on in and save me." That's how he got saved. Not by works, but by simply accepting Jesus, the Son of God, as your Messiah, as your Savior. You that are watching me right now, I believe that there are some of you that are not born again. For some reason, you ended up on this video, or you're watching live for some reason. And here's how simple it is. Don't be like the Jewish scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where they said, we don't believe that. Believe today and say, I believe, I repent, I want Jesus. If you do that, you will get saved today. And when we finish here, your screen will change. You will have three crosses coming up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles says, my friend, he will spend 10 minutes with you. You will not see his picture, but you will hear his voice. And he will take you through salvation step by step. And you today can know that if you die tomorrow, you go to heaven and you don't go to hell. To those of you that are saved and so on, I had two messages today. We had the NIP where I asked you to pray. But now with this message, what do I want you to do this afternoon? I want you to take time this afternoon. Take an hour, maybe 2 hours. I know you're busy, but take some time. Because here's the thing. You heard a sermon now. It's fresh for you in the afternoon. If you try to go back Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you forgot most of the stuff was done since the last cause for you. But sit down this afternoon with us and simply say, Jesus didn't die on a cross. His body did. And then get the mechanics of it. He did sacrifice his body. His body became the sacrificial lamb. And that with that, but most of all, he paid our sins by simply hanging on the cross, having the Father put all the sins upon him. And whenever sin had been put on him, he was judged. And that's where the payment was made for our sins. So we can be forgiven. It's paid for. But you got to cash it in. If you don't cash it in by repenting, it's no good to you. You will end up in hell. So I pray that you would take some time this afternoon. Ponder, think, and say, God, I want to grow spiritually. I really want to know this more in detail. May God bless you as you take that stand. Here's Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today. And we are truly blessed to hear the word of God, to have ears to hear the word of God. And blessed to be redeemed through the atonement of Jesus that was made on our behalf. Thank you for that, Lord. And we get our sins removed. We're washed white as snow. And nobody can take that from us. So I thank you for that. And I pray that that knowledge of salvation will spread throughout the world, and people will have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we thank you for salvation to keep going forward. in this lost world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you.
All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 33rd part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Doubting Jesus' Sanity. The scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus asking for a supernatural sign to prove he was the Messiah. Jesus retorted that the only sign they would get was that of the prophet Jonah. The Son of God came from heaven to inhabit a human body provided by the Holy Spirit and Mary. He was God and man at the same time. There was no spiritual death that occurred on the cross. In fact, Jesus visited paradise and preached to the inhabitants of hell. Then he re-entered the resurrected body and walked victoriously out of the tomb. Jesus condemned the generation that saw the miracles and rejected him. He taught about demons and the harm of returning to a sinful lifestyle. Then his family and friends tried to recall him when they thought that he had mentally lost it. Even his own mom was among this group. Jesus refused to speak with them because as the God-man, he was going to redeem humanity. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1930. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.